وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. This was the introduction of الإمام الحافظ ابن رجب الحنبلي رحمه الله and أحمد and أبو داود and النسائي and ابن حبان and البخاري and his book الأدب المفرد narrated with a quote that some people came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم they said أنت سيدنا you are our سيد so he said السيد الله السيد is Allah أنا محمد عبد الله ورسوله I am Muhammad the slave of Allah and his messenger so say عبد الله ورسوله and narrated البخاري and other لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد الله ورسوله do not exaggerate and complimenting me like the Christians have exaggerated and complimenting or praising Ibn Maryam, the son of Maryam. I am but the slave of Allah and his messenger. And Ahmad narrated with a good isnad, with a good isnad, as Umar said, Sayyidina Allah Azza wa Jal, or Sayyid is Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is enough that the companions did not call him whether he was alive or he was dead, Sayyid. Not him nor any other prophet as the Prophet of Allah. This was the comment by the commentator on this small booklet. His name is Abu Abdullah Mahmud ibn Muhammad al-Haddad. Then Ibn Rajab starts saying that Muslim narrated in his Sahih from a hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said بدأ الإسلام غريبا Islam started strange that is strange to the people to the majority of the people فسيعود كما بدأ غريبا and it will come back as it started strange فطوبى للغرباء طوبى is an Arabic word which I could roughly translate it as glad tidings, glad tidings due to the stranger. Also narrated it Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah about Ibn Mas'ud with an addition to the end of it. And this addition is, Qila Ya Rasulallah wa man al-ghuraba? So I said, O Messenger of Allah, who are the ghuraba? He said, النزاع من القبائل. النزاع is the plural of نازع or نزيع. And he is the strange, the one who left his country in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a land where he has no family or tribe. He went there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And في حديث إمام أحمد شاكر رحمه الله said في الصحيح and also أبو بكر الآجري narrated it and he said and he has قيل ومن هم يا رسول الله he said الذين يصلحون إذا فسد الناس or الذين يصلحون إذا فسد الناس الألباني said that this is narrated by أبو عمرو الداني in Sunan with a true isnad and the strangeness here is the strangeness of truth amongst the battle where the sunnahs die and the bid'ahs live and the one who has the truth is strange amongst the people of battle because he does not love them as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said المرء مع من أحب المرء مع من أحب the man is with whom he loves as it is in the Sahih and they don't love him as Allah تعالى said قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر the hatred has shown or have been shown from their mouths and what their hearts keep that is of hatred is bigger and because he does not mix with them that is criticism or relativism, as it is in the Shara, to avoid the people of sins and bidahs. And others have narrated it. Now, going back to the Najaf again. Another narration قال الذين يكرهون بديني من الفتن. He said those who run away with their religion from the fitness. And the commentator says running away with your religion from the fitness is a sign or one of the signs of the last day or the day before the days which are close to the hereafter. And it has been narrated in two hadith. And this means the hijrah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ibadi inna ardi wasi'a fa'iyaya fa'budun. O my slaves, O my worshippers, my land is wide, so it is me whom you should worship. So we said, the narration of Imam Muslim was بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ غريبا فطوبى للغرباء. And Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah narrated with an addition to it, and that is قيل يا رسول الله ومن الغرباء قال النزاع من القبائل النزاع من القبائل. And I think I forgot the word من القبائل when I translated it there. Also narrated by Tirmidhi from Hadith Kafir ibn Abdullah al-Muzani about his father, about his grandfather, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the deen started strange and it will come back strange. So glad tidings be to the strangers who correct what people have spoiled from my sunnah. And also Tabarani narrated from Hadith Jabir about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in his hadith he said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, the ones who act righteously when the others are corrupt, or when the others are corrupt. Or another meaning, الذين يصلحون بين فساد الناس, or الذين يصلحون. So if it is يصلحون, then they act righteously. If it is يصلحون, then they try to correct righteously, or try to correct the wrong to righteousness. Many narrations that Imam Ibn Rajab is bringing here also another narration. They said, who are the Ghuraba? Said, few people and a lot of bad people. Those who obey them, that obey those few people, I mean, those who disobey them is much than those who obey them. Also narrated Abdullah ibn Umar, they said, who are the غرباء? He said, الفرارون بدينهم يبعثهم الله تعالى مع عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام. The ones who run away with their religion, Allah سبحانه وتعالى will resurrect them with عيسى بن مريم, peace be upon him. And also, this is the claim of the commentator that Muslim narrated about Ibn Umar, that the Islam started strange and it will come back strange as it started, and it will take refuge between the two masjid, that is the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca and the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, as the snake takes refuge in its hole. And taking refuge here is that the people of truth will gather in one or two places. In Mecca and Medina, namely. Then, going back to Ibn Rajab, he starts to explain, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيرًا, that is, the people were before the before sending the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ were on a general going after, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Iyad ibn Himar, which was narrated by a Muslim, إن الله نظر إلى أهل الأرض فمقتهم عربهم وعجمهم إلا بقايا من أهل الكتاب. That Allah looked to the people of earth and he hated them, their Arabs and other than Arabs, except few remainders, except remainders from أهل الكتاب. فلما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعا إلى الإسلام لم يستجب له في أول الأمر إلا الواحد بعد الواحد من كل قبيلة. So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent and he called to Islam, he called the people to Islam, that is, no one answered him at the beginning of the matter, except individuals, one individual from each tribe, one individual after another individual. So that is from one tribe, one individual. And the one who was answering him was afraid from his tribe, from his family. He was harmed severely and being tortured, but he would still remain patient on that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslims then were weak, they were being chased and run away with their religion to the far countries, like the Hijrah to Al-Habasha twice. And the commentator says the second Hijrah to Al-Habasha was when they came back to Al-Madinah thinking that Islam had already spread in Mecca and it was not, so they went back again to Al-Habasha. And going back to Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said when they migrated to Al-Madinah and some of them were tortured in Allah for the sake of Allah and some of them were killed, so the ones who entered Islam then were strangers. Then Islam overcome, alhamdulillah, after the Hijrah to Al-Madinah and it became mighty. And its people were victorious, alhamdulillah. And the people after that entered the religion of Allah gently, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected their religion and he has fulfilled his bounty on them, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on that faith of Islam. And of course then the people of Islam were on so straight forward, so straightforwardness in their religion, and they were together helping each other, supporting each other, and they were like that, or they remained like that at the time of Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. And then Shaytan did his tricks on the Muslims and he thrown hatred amongst them, sickness amongst them. And of course, the meaning of this, as the commentator says, is explained in a few hadith, that Shaytan became hopeless to be worshipped on this land, but he still wants or has hope to make the Muslims be against each other. And he spread amongst them the fitness of shubhas and desires, and those two fitness were still amongst them or in them, increasing little by little until it was fully established and most of the people have followed him. So amongst them were those who obeyed him in the fitna of shubhas, and amongst them those who obeyed him in the fitna of desires, and amongst them those who obeyed him in both. And all that was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he means by that, as he says, that the fitna of the shubhas, as far as the fitna of the shubhas, it is narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from many different narrations, that his nation would split into more than 70 groups, and that all such groups are in hellfire except one, and that is what he was on and his companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The commentator says, as Al-Albani said in the silsila al-Sahihah, in the hadith number 204, which states that those who were before you amongst Ahl al-Kitab or from Ahl al-Kitab split into 72 groups, and that this nation will split into 72 of them are in hellfire and one in paradise, and that is al-jama'ah, wa hiya al-jama'ah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, narrated by Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, said it is sahih, Al-Zahabi, Al-Ibrahim, Ibn Hajar, and Ibn Taymiyyah, and Al-Iraqi, and Al-Busiri, and it has many narrations. Of course, the narration that says all of them are in paradise except one, which are the Zanadiqa or the Qadariya, Al-Aqili said, لَيْسَ لَهُ أَخِي, that it has no root of truthness, this narration itself. And Al-Zahabi said, the one narrator, which is Abrad ibn Ashraf, is Wadda. He makes up hadith. And of course, such a hadith is disregarded. Going back to Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says, as far as the fitna of the shahwas, narrated in Sahih Muslim about Abdullah ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how would you be, or كيف أنتم إذا فتحت عليكم خزائن فارس والروم أي قوم أنتم, how would you be with the treasury of فارس, Persia, and Rome, Roma, would be open to you, what kind of people would you be? عبد الرحمن بن عوف said, نقول كما أمرنا الله, we say as Allah ordered us. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أو غير ذلك, or something else, تتنافسون ثم تتحاسدون ثم تتدابرون. That is, you will race for life, that means for wealth, and then you will, as a result of racing and wealth, you will hate each other and you will give your back to each other, or whatever hadith means. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, narrated about Amr ibn Awf, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, والله ما الفقر أخشى عليكم ولكن أخشى عليكم أن تبسط عليكم الدنيا كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها فتهلككم كما أهلكتكم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swears by Allah that he does not fear poverty on us or for us. He feels that the dunya would be wide open on us, just like it was wide open on the people who were among us before us. So they raced into it. That means they competed into getting it. So the Prophet ﷺ says that I say that you will compete for it as they have competed for it, so it will destroy you as it has destroyed them. This is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. And when the treasuries of Kisra were opened at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he wept and he said that this was not opened when people said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them fight each other, or as he said. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were fearing in his nation those two fitnas, as in as Ibn Rajab narrates here about Imam Ahmad, about Abi Burja, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he doesn't say anything about this narration, whether it's true or not, neither does the commentator. But he says that I fear on you the desires that are in your stomach and in your private part, and the sickness, the going astray of the desires. So when most of the people entered those two sickness, or one of them, they became hating each other, giving their back to each other after they were brothers, loving each other, contacting each other, because the fitna of the desires, shahwat, have spread to most of the creatures, to most of the people, so they were tempted by the dunya and its beauty, and it became the utmost of their goal. It they seek, and by it they get satisfied, and for it they hate, or for it they get angry, and for it they accompany, and on it they they cut the relations. So they cut the relations of their womb, and they shedded their blood, and they did sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, all because of the desire, the shahwat. And the fitness of the shubhas and the desires, the going astray desires, due to it, the people of Ahlul Qibla have split, and they became Shia, that means groups, and some of them called each other kafir, and they became enemies, and parties or groups. After they were brothers, their heart on one man's heart. So no one has been saved from those groups except the one successful saved group, and they are the ones who are mentioned in his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تزال طائفة لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. There will still be a group from my nation rising on the truth, that is rising with the truth, with them. No one will harm them. No one who disagrees with them or who does not help them will harm them until the order of Allah comes, while they are still on that. And this, the commentator says, narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, and he says, in a true narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Hum bil gharb," they are in the west, and that is Sham. And in another hadith, he says, "Sham khiratu ardillah, ikhtara laha khiratu ibadah." Sham is the best of the land of Allah, and he chose the best of the people for it, or the best of his worshippers for it. and a Muslim that Isa will descend northern Damascus, and there are many tributes of Sham, hadith which state the tributes of Sham. Also Ali ibn al-Madini, as Tirmidhi have narrated about al-Bukhari, about Ali ibn al-Madini, that this successful victorious group are the people of hadith, Ahab al-Hadith, and they are the saved group. And going back to the author, he says they are at the last days are the strangers which are mentioned in those hadiths, the ones who correct themselves or who act righteously when the people behave corruptly, and the ones who correct what the people have spoiled from the sunnah, and the ones who run away if they have to, with their religion from the fitness, and the ones which are few, that is one from each tribe, because they are very few. So in each tribe there is only one or two, and in some tribes there might not be anyone. As the ones who were entering Islam in the beginning were like that, and as that the Imams of the Hadith, or the Imams, have explained the Hadith. And of course he means by the Imams of scholars. Al-Awza'i said in his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bada al-Islam ghariban wa sayahudu ghariban kama bada. He said, Islam does not leave, Islam does not go, but Ahlul Sunnah go, until there will not remain in one country just one man. And that's why you will find in the saying of the Salaf a lot of complimenting and praising for the Sunnah, and describing it with strangeness, and describing its people with few. So Al-Hasan rahimahullah used to say to his companions, oh Ahl Sunnah, tarafaqu, that is, take it easy, rahimakum. ترفقوا لا تزداد إيزي رحمكم الله may Allah be merciful to you فإنكم من أقل الناس because you are the fewest amongst people. Also Yunus ibn Ubaid says there is nothing more strange than the Sunnah, and what is more strange are those who know it. And he also, it was also narrated about him that he said it became that if one is knowledgeable in the Sunnah, then he is a stranger. And narrated about Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, I advise you good about Ahl Sunnah because they are strangers. That means I advise that you do good to them. And imams or scholars meant by Sunnah is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he and his companions were on, the way that was safe from shubhas and shahwas, shubhas and desires. That is why Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyaz used to say, Ahl Sunnah are the ones who know what comes into their stomach from halal, because eating halal is one of the greatest attributes of the Sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were on. He meant to emphasize, and this is what I'm saying from your understanding, and Allah knows best, meaning he meant to emphasize that when Sunnah is emphasized, or Sunnah is said, or Ahl Sunnah is said, it does not only concern the path that is saved from the Shubhas, but it also the path that is saved from the Shahwas. That is why he brought the example of being careful of what enters the stomach, whether it is halal or not, and he said because eating the halal is one of the great characters of the Sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were on. Then, if we turn in the definition of many scholars who came later, whether they are from Al-Hadith and others, that the Sunnah is what is safe from the Shubhas, and especially in the beliefs, in the matters of faith, in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the Day of Judgment, and in the matters of Qadr, and in the attributes of the Sahaba. And they have authored or wrote in this knowledge a lot, and they called them the books of Sunnah. Like the commentator says, the book of Sunan Abi Dawood and Al-Nasai and Ibn Majah and the book of Sunnah for Al-Khalal. Then Ibn Rajab says, they made the name of Sunnah special for this because its danger is great, and the one who disagrees here is on a verge of destroying it. But the complete Sunnah is the Sunnah that is saved from both the Shubhas and the desires, as Al-Hassan said, and as Yunus ibn Ubayd and Sufyan and Al-Fudayl and others have said. That is why if people were described by strangeness at the end of time, because they are few and their strangeness are there. Their strangeness is in that. And it was narrated in some narrations in explaining the strangers as good people, pious people, small in number, and amongst a large number of people who are bad. Those who disobey them are more than those who obey. And in this, there is a sign that they are few, and that the ones who listen to them and answer them are few, and the ones who accept from them are few, and the ones who disagree with them are a lot, and the ones who disobey them are a lot. And the commentator says that in the Sahih, that he mentioned the true hadith which explains that amongst the generations of Adam, amongst 8,999 will be for hellfire. And then he brings the verse, وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مِثْلَ الْأَرْضِ يَضِلُّوكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, which has the meaning, or the interpretation of the meaning, if you obey most of the people on earth, they will lead you astray from the path of Allah. And so on. Then another hadith. And he says, so that is how Ahl Sunnah are in Ahl Bidah. They are minority in a majority, and they are strangers in this battle. Strangers in this battle. Then Ibn Rajab mentions that is why in many narrations there were complimentation or praising for those who stick to their religion at the end of the day, and those are the ones like the ones who are holding the ones who are holding fire in their hand or fire stone. And that for the one amongst them who act righteously, there will be a reward of 50 from the people who were before them. And this is explained in a hadith by the Prophet ﷺ. That the reason for that is because they do not find supporters in doing good. And those strangers are two kinds. One kind is the one who corrects himself when the people get spoiled, and the other kind is who corrects what the people have spoiled from sinna, and of course he is better. And then he brings a narration about Tabarani, and he says it is weak. Okay. And he also brings another narration about Tabarani, and he says it's weak also. And the commentator says that the weak hadith should not be used in any aspect of religion, even in the virtues of the deed, that is qada'a al-a'mal, to be careful and to be aware of attaching anything to the Prophet that he did not say. And he says this is the madhab of the muhakkik, like Ibn Hajar and Ibn Taymiyyah, and he said from before, like Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And he says that the narration about Imam Ahmad, he says the narration that is attached to Imam Ahmad, that is said that Imam Ahmad has said it, that he was easy in the hadith of virtues. It was meant only by the hadith Hassan, as Ibn Taymiyyah had said. Then he says, in Rajab, that the believer at the end of the day became humiliated because of their strangeness amongst the people of Subhas and Desire. So all of them hate him and bother him, harm him, for he is different from their way, and for his goal is different from their goal, and for he's clearly not looking like them. And when Dawood al-Ta'i had died, Ibn Sunnah said, he brings a narration about him which says that when he was about to die, he was looking to the ones around him as strangers, and they were looking at him as a stranger, and also amongst those strangers are the ones whom their family and even their children would hate them, because they would see what they are on as strange. The Salaf used to say, or used to describe the believer by strangeness at their time, as has been narrated about Al-Hasan and Al-Awza'i and Sufyan and others previously. Then he brings a narration about Ahmad ibn Asim al-Antaki, and he says he was one of the great Arifs. And the commentator says Arif is a Sufi word, an innovative word, and so is the Sufiya. It is an innovation in name. So they innovated Al-Arif instead of Al-Alim, scholar, and innovated many other words like Sufi and Al-Wasil, Al-Salik, Al-Qutb, Al-Ghawth, Al-Wasad, and the commentator curses them. He cusses. Okay, so the Ahmad ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, brings this narration about Al-Anfasi, and he says he was amongst the Arabs in the time or at the time of Abu Sulaiman al-Tarani. He said, I have met certain times where Islam became strange as it started, and the description of truth was strange as it started. If you go to a scholar, you find him devoted to the love of dunya and loving the position and loving the praising. And if you go to a abid, a worshipper, you find him ignorant in his worship, and you find Iblis has played with him, and to the degree that Iblis takes him to the highest degree of worship while he is ignorant in the lowest degree. And the rest are amongst the common, they are ignorant and so on. So he says, this is the description of the eyes of the people of their time. And by eyes, he means special people, the ones who carry the knowledge in the Quran, and the ones who call to hikmah, etc. Also, he brings a narration by Tabarani about Hadith Abu Huraira, about the Prophet ﷺ. He says that the one who sticks to my sunnah at the time of spoilage of my nation or corruption of my nation has the reward of 100 shaheed. The commentator says, Al-Albani says that all nations in this meaning are weak. And going back to what Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, he said that narration was narrated by Al-Asbahani with his isnad about Al-Hasan, that he said, if a man from the first generation was resurrected today, he would not know from Islam anything but this prayer. Then he said, I swear by Allah that if he lived till he calling to his bid'ah, or someone with a dunya calling to his dunya, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save him, his heart will be really tempted to the Salaf al-Salih, so that he'll follow their footsteps and and follow their sunnah and their path, and of course that will be of a great reward. Then he mentioned a narration about Al-Fudayl, about Al-Hasan, that he remembered the rich man who has power. He takes the money and he claims that there is no punishment for it. And then he remembered, or he mentioned, the Mubtadi', the going astray innovator, who came with his sword pointing it at Muslims and applying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the kafirs to the Muslims. Then he said that your sunnah by Allah is in between the exaggerator and the one with shortcomings, and between the one who spent a lot on his dunya and the ignorant. So be patient on it, that is, be patient on your sunnah, because Al-Sunnah were the fewest of the people.
So that is why you should, inshallah, be. Then he said, by Allah, if one man have raped or have lived till he sees those munkar, he will say, or the munkar would say to him, this would say, come to me, and this would say, come to me, and he would say, no, I want nothing but the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking it and asking about it. This, of course, has a great reward. So that is why, that is how you should do it, inshallah ta'ala. And in this meaning, what was narrated by Abu Naim and others about Kamil ibn Ziyad, about Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he said, people are three categories. One, alim, rabbani, a rabbani scholar, and the other is muta'allim, learner, ala sabili najat, for the sake of saving himself, and hamad, commoners who follow every loudspeaker, or as the name says. And the Rabbani scholar, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ فِي مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلِمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. The commentator says, and the Rabbani scholar is the one who learns and teaches what he learns for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the ones, as Muslim have narrated, and also not the ones who would be amongst the first to go to hellfire, the one who have learned so that he'll be so that people call him alim. Or as Abu Dawood have narrated with a good isnad, من تعلم علما مما يبتغى به وجه الله لا يتعلمه إلا ليخيب به عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد غرف الجنة يوم القيامة. He who learns knowledge which should be learned for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he learns it to acquire some of the dunya, he will not find the room in Jannah, or the room of the Jannah. He would not find the smell of the Jannah at the Day of Judgment. Not the room, but the smell. Also, Ibn Abbas has explained al-Rabbani that he is the Hakim, the wise, and the Faqih, and Ibn Mas'ud agrees with him. Al-Bukhari said, al-Rabbani is the one who educates people with the small ilm before it's big one. Ibn Hajar said, small ilm here means what is clear and what is needed to be explained first so that they can understand what comes next. And the big ilm is what is more minute, that is more or harder to understand. And so this was part of the narration about Ali radiallahu anhu. Then the rest, when he says the third category, the commoners who follow every speaker, or everyone who speaks loudly, everyone who says something, they bend with every character. They have not been lighted with the light of knowledge. And then he mentioned something in regards to the knowledge, until he said, here there is, and he pointed to his chest, a lot of knowledge. I wish that I find someone whom I can give this knowledge to. And then he mentioned that what I'm finding is someone who is not worthy of getting this knowledge because he uses it for the dunya. And etc. And he mentioned that amongst those are the ones who are fond of gathering and saving, that is wealth, saving wealth. And they have nothing to do with learning the religion and keeping it, just like the animals. And then he mentions that those who are worthy of it are little, small, that means small number, but they have great position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps his proof by them until they give it to the ones who are worthy next to them. And they plant it in the heart of the ones who are allied to them, look like them, etc. So Ibn Rajab says that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu has categorized the ones who carry the knowledge to three categories. One is the people of Subuhat, those whom they have not a righteous way of understanding or thinking, which the doubts are in their hearts, and some shubha comes to them will make them doubt, and they will fall into suspicion, and therefore they fall into bid'ah and going astray. And the other group or category are the people of desires. And there are two kinds. One who seeks the dunya with the same knowledge. So he makes the knowledge as a tool to earn the dunya. And the other whose main goal is to gather the dunya and to save it. And all those are not worthy of keeping this religion. Rather, they are like animals. And he says that is why Allah has made those who carry the Torah and they do not act upon it, like the donkey who carries stuff on his back. And also he made the one who knows the scholar who is bad look like the dog who has followed his desire, and so on. And the third category are the ones who are worthy of carrying the knowledge and keeping it, and the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his proof and signs clear. And he mentioned that they are the least in number, but the most great with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that this kind, this category is little in number or small in number and strange. Also, Al-Hasan al-Bashri, rahimahullah, has categorized the carrier of Quran with something similar to this categorization of Ali. Al-Hasan said that the result of the Quran has three kinds. One kind who took it as a merchant, the equivalent, and another kind who learned the letters of it, but they waste the rules of it, that is, they don't act upon it. And they use it for solutions. And he says this category, are Allah, may Allah not make them Allah. And another point, are the ones who took the Quran as the cure to their heart. And he says that those are the notorious category of Muslims. And he comes back to the description of Ali radiallahu anhu.